Now, he'd fix more than just something comfortable. He'd fix the jail experience also. And a good beating, for that opened the door to a great church in Philippi. But here was the key to that. A certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Isn't that something? God has to open your heart. The Lord opened her heart, that she attended unto those things which were spoken of Paul. The first thing she attended to was to get saved. And it came to pass when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, first she got saved in her house. Maybe she didn't think she ought to take Paul and that group down there to an unsaved family and live around them. She wanted to get her family saved. So they had to live out in the woods while God was working on her family. All right, now her family was saved and baptized. So then she besought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. That's like those group of men that followed Saul. 1 Samuel 10:26. When a man has a group of people whose hearts God has opened and God has touched, then you've got helps that have been set apart by the Lord to be his servants. And most of the time he picks out people that were born to serve the Lord. He knows who they are. You can't pick them out. God has to choose them. Jesus stayed up all night and prayed. In Luke the 6th chapter, verse 12, it says, came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whose name was Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, and those 12 men. But God chose those men and gave them to him. As he was praying in John the 17th chapter, he said, of all these that you've given me, I've kept. Praise God. You gave them to me. You opened their hearts. You touched their hearts and put this in their heart to follow me. Jesus said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But who put it in their hearts? The Father put it in their hearts to accept him, to receive him, to follow him. They were touched of the Lord. And he said, I've kept them all except one, that the scripture might be fulfilled, the son of perdition. And it was God that touched those hearts, that opened hearts, like it was in the days of Paul and like it still is today. There must be people who open their hearts to God, that God can touch them and subsequently call them, choose them, and make them faithful through the work of the Spirit of God in their hearts to prepare as a vessel of honor. Prepared, sanctified, and set apart for the Master's use. Those things must happen, and there's no way around it. We do not fit into God's great purpose until we have had our hearts prepared like some of those great men of old. I want to show you a couple of them here that had their hearts touched, and they were really prepared of the Lord to do the thing that God wanted them to do. Their hearts were prepared. In 2 Chronicles, the 2 Chronicles, I'll start with here, the 19th chapter and verse 3. Nevertheless, there are good things found in these. The prophet was speaking to Jehoshaphat. Thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Ezra, also the Bible speaks in Ezra 7:27 about preparing his heart to seek the Lord and to teach the people the word of God. God had to prepare his heart. God has to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. In the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, verse 33, we find another incidence of this. And the Bible said, howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. They did not prepare their hearts to seek the Lord. And over in 2 Chronicles, in passing, might as well note this, in 2 Chronicles 12, in verse 14, that here was one of the kings of Israel, Rehoboam. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. When our hearts are not open of God, when God does not prepare that heart to seek him, then we are going to do evil because our heart has not been open and prepared by the Lord. We try to do it ourselves, but we must let the Holy Ghost do that and work through us, or else we're going to defeat God's great purpose in our hearts. In Amos, the 4th chapter, the Bible speaks of something here that we must let God do, because God does not do everything. There are some things that we must do, and this is one of them. In Amos 4, verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. See, God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. See, listen what God did. God said, I overthrew some of you and destroyed people like I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. It's us that prepares to meet the Lord. It's our preparation. It's our willingness to submit to the Word of God, to submit to that Spirit that draws us. As we sing that old song, who is that knocking, calling, seeking? Who is that seeking after my soul, troubling my sleep at night? Who is that knocking, seeking, calling? Who is that troubling my soul? Surely it is Jesus asking, pleading, wanting to make me whole. We must prepare ourselves. We must get our hearts put out there before God and say, hey, Lord, here it is. Here's my heart. Fix it. Praise God. And old David said, my heart is fixed, because he put his heart out there and the Lord had access to it. We don't open the door. Revelation 3 and 20 tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus said, if any man open the door, then I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. It's us that opens the door. Open to Jesus. Open when the Spirit of God knocks. The handle's on the inside. And we must turn to God knowing, according to Romans 2 and 4, it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. God's goodness. He prepared a spirit. He prepared a way for us to get to the eternal life and escape hell and the damnation that results from our sins and our rebellion against him. Know ye not that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance? 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not long. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Seeing then that you know these things, be diligent. Praise God, we've got to be diligent to make ourselves clean and pure and holy in the sight of God, to make our calling and election sure. That is our responsibility and a glorious opportunity to say, Lord, have your own way. I am the potter, you are the clay. When he makes that vessel, when we look at the vessel that's been made holy, when it's made in a pattern of beauty, when it's made into a fashion that resembles Christ, then you can look around and say, it's not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. He did it. I'm crucified with Christ. All you have to do is give up, surrender. Give up your own will and say, Lord, have your own way. And then the Lord comes in and does that thing that we cannot possibly do for ourselves. And that is to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ when we give him the recognition. He did it. We did not do it. It's all of grace. It's all of mercy. Praise God. And we must recognize, as Paul said in Acts 15 and 12, all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Finally, that scripture came to me. that Spirit of God had wrought the wonders and miracles among the Gentiles by them. And all through the Acts of the Apostles, it says, by the hands of the apostles were great signs and wonders wrought among the people. It even speaks of Jesus. Peter writes with him in Acts 2, and he said, this man Jesus that you've taken and crucified. It said, him God has shown approved among the people.